worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. In Psalm 1, starting at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity that we have being able to come to you in prayer any time of the day, knowing that you always, always, always have a listening ear for the prayers of your children. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit who guides us and empowers our prayer life. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to use our prayer time, our opportunity to talk with you day by day as a time of drawing closer to you, growing stronger in you, and also as a time to do warfare on behalf of ourselves, our families, but also our community, our church, our nation, our world. More and more empower us to be the people of prayer you've called us to be. Help us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. Lord, we love you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our in-studio guests in just a few moments here. But as we start off, I want to remind you again about a couple important upcoming events. I want to remind you about an upcoming Pray and Vote special presented by AFA Action. Tuesday afternoon, November the 1st, beginning at 5 Central, this special will be hosted by Tim Wildman, Ed Vitagliano, and Abraham Hamilton III, AFA's public policy analyst. Guests by way of phone will include Franklin Graham, Todd Starnes, and others. It's going to include a time of prayer for the election and for our nation, and also a discussion of the upcoming election. Please listen in and listen to Pray and Vote on Urban Family Talk or watch it at afaaction.net. Again, that's at afaaction.net. Also, we'd like to remind you of and encourage you to participate in a day of prayer and fasting, Monday, November the 7th. Just a reminder, as we look back in history, on March 30th in the year 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln called for a national day of prayer and fasting in which he addressed what he called the need for our national reformation as a whole people. Abraham Lincoln made this statement. He said, "We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God." Lincoln also said, adding that it was our duty to do this, to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. How can we as Americans in 2016 do any less? The American Family Association is joining countless churches, organizations, and individuals in calling for a national day of prayer and fasting. It's time that we, as Christians, recognize our need to repent of our own sins and wickedness and cry out to the Lord for forgiveness, that he might heal our broken land. AFA has designated Monday, November 7th, as a day to seek God's face, again, a day of prayer and fasting. However you participate, that's up to you. You may choose to skip one meal, two meals, or choose to fast all day long. That's, again, up to you. But please do join us in crying out to our Heavenly Father for his mercy and his grace. And please go online to afr.net and sign the pledge and let us know that you're planning to participate. If you'll do that, we would really, really appreciate that. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We're grateful to have in studio with us today Pam Coleman. Pam is the director of a ministry called Autism and Other Disabilities Family Support Group. Welcome, Pam, to the Hour of Intercession.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us today. And you've been with us before. I know it's been a little while. In fact, it's been more than a year.
Yes.
But as we start off our time, would you just basically reintroduce yourself to our listeners and also explain your ministry and what it's about.
Okay. Me and my husband, we have a son. His name is JJ. We call him JJ. Mm-hmm. He have autism. He's now 17 years old. He's about to turn 18.
Okay. Pam, let me jump in real quick here. Would you explain to our leaders, you know, autism is a word we hear often in our culture, mm-hmm. but I think a lot of people don't have a good understanding. Would you just share just a general definition of what autism is?
Autism is, they call it a late development of the brain. Mm-hmm. It's a disease, just like cancer and anything else. It works with his mind, it works with his body. Mm-hmm. So it affects everything in his body. So.
And it really has a very broad definition. There are a lot of different symptoms of people that deal with autism, mental and physical disabilities that sometimes will go along with what is known as autism.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Please go ahead then.
Like I said, me and my husband, he is the joy of our life. He is a bright young man. He loves computer. He loves everything. Mm-hmm. But my desire is for him because I wasn't seeing. I know he had the potential to do great things because I have seen him. Mm-hmm. My son stays. He was I was teaching my son at home, but now he's back in school.
What grade is JJ in?
JJ is in the ninth grade. When they have autism or disability, they can stay up to school until the age of 21.
Okay.
And some parents decide to, you know, take them out of school. But I know my son, I love school. I see the joy in him when he talks about school.
That's good.
You know, and when he gets up in the morning, school bus, he runs to the school bus. So my desire is to keep my son in school long as at the age of 21. Mm-hmm. What I had desired to do this because I was a parent that didn't know when autism hit my home. I had two boys with autism, but God healed my first son with autism. Hmm. He's an A and B student, and he's in college. But JJ, he had autism. I think it was more severity than my other son.
Right.
And we, like I said, when it first came out, people didn't know what autism was, didn't know what it's about. It was no really help out there. So it discouraged me. It brought me down. But I had to see that, you know, with me being down and sad, that wasn't getting nothing done.
Right.
So I had to... God had to equip me, and it took a process. It just didn't happen overnight. It took some processes. God is equipping me. He had to build me up in him to know who I am, and so that I love that verse you read this morning. That was on my heart when we got in here, and I had to seek God's way on how to do that. Okay, Lord, equip me, give me wisdom on today, what to do for my son, how to talk. And I'm a living testament. My son, even because my son have autism, he helped me to be the person I am today because I was a shy person. I wouldn't talk to nobody. I would keep my head down, wouldn't look people in the eye. I wouldn't talk to people. But my son, as he have autism, I speak to people. I go out and I ask people for help. I talk. Mm-hmm. I communicate. So God, you know, he used that. It may be what they say, a crip, you know, but he used that out of his glory to build my son, build me up in the Lord.
Well, you know, Pam, one of the things that comes to my mind is I know down through the years as a pastor, one of the things I've desired to do is to encourage the church to learn to love people and receive people with open arms. And, you know, one of the things that I'm aware of and I've observed over the years as a pastor, sometimes when you have a family that has a child that has a disability, often they'll keep them at home.
Yes.
Or they'll just choose not to bring them in public places, yes, because in the parent thinks, well, they're disruptive. Now, the need is the church to be trained to love and embrace people for who they are and how they function in public. Well, of course, ideally what will happen is the church is glad to see that child along with his parents, glad to, in many cases, form the service around them to bless and encourage that person, as opposed to people that will talk about the child and even say things like, why don't they leave that child at home? He's or she is too disruptive, which is sad, which is unloving and wrong on the part of those persons. So there's a need for the church to really aggressively reach out and love those children and invite them and encourage them. Please bring him and do things to love and encourage the parents and the family as well.
And I'm glad you brought that topic up because I have two or three more topics to talk about. But that was one of the topics also that I came here today because me and my family, we are seeking for a church, you know, looking for a church home, just not for me, but for that fits our son also. Because our son, our children love God. You know, they, I guess because I've learned my husband, my kids, you know, that worked, when you wake up in the morning, your children would call you blessed. And I had got to that place, my family, my husband, my children, I'm blessed. You know, mom, you can't give me all this, but you give me the word, you know. And I'm like that mom. I give it to them when they go to bed and I give them to them at the night.
That's
so
right.
As we searching for churches home, me and my husband, we had learned as we was searching, my son would act up and he might say something loud. And then we got the whole church, we try to sit on the back row. But my son, as he makes that loud noise, you have the whole church
kind of staring,
beaming on you. And beaming. And then because we don't, and the church makes you feel welcome, but they, as my son walked in, he looks like a normal child, but once he opened up his mouth, you'll see that's not normal. But the church has to, and that's what I'm calling also today, you know, as pastors and leaders, you know, as our family goes into these churches, they may look normal, but it's something still missing. But if you're not, the house, the altar be aside, something, a brochure, a pamphlet. If you have a family with a disability, you know, this is a place that that child may need quiet time and may need to be away from music. That needs to be said. That needs to be greeted at the doors. And that's what I want to do. I'm having a meeting also this month, this Saturday, the 29th, I think, tomorrow, Saturday, 26th.
The 29th
at Great Foundation. And I'm asking pastors.
That's the name of the church, Great?
No.
Okay.
This is what we have in the meeting at.
Okay.
And I'm asking pastors and leaders that, you know, come out to this meeting and listen to parents and daddies and moms and grandparents, because we got grandparents is raising children. Listen to their voices, and they want to take their child to church. But we're trying to show you to because when we come in, we don't know if we should go. So what we do, we just got up and leave, and we didn't know there was a quiet room we could take our children to. But if it's not being tall, if and then our children, we don't, and that's another goal. We don't want to include our children for things. We want our children to be involved.
My child included, to be drawn in and be a part of things.
My child loves to sing. My child loves Bible time. I tell my child, let's story time. He knows story time. It's not go get the book.
Let me jump in right quick.
Okay.
We're coming up on a break. We'll pick up right there. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Pam Coleman, the director of the ministry Autism and Other Disability Family Support Group. We'll be right back after this break.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing, he had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
One of the first steps to becoming a Christian is recognizing our sinful nature. What makes this so difficult is that we have selective vision when it comes to our own issues. It's easy for me to see your faults, but when it comes to seeing my own, then my eyesight automatically gets bad. One surefire way to measure new birth in Christ is by opened eyes and a clear vision. Sometimes we can pass between having sight and having no sight because we have fallen asleep to the needs around us, or our perspective on those things that are eternal is distorted. Whatever the case, there is nothing more dangerous than having blurred vision and still thinking that it's clear. Don't measure your vision by your own standards. It will be warped and distorted every time, but rather measure it by God's standards. God desires that our eyesight remains clear. So how is your eyesight today? With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com. I had an opportunity recently to speak at a Women's Day program. As part of the message, I shared the story of Hannah and Penina. Those two ladies shared a husband. The difference was Penina had children and Hannah did not. The Lord had caused her to be barren. Penina thought it was her job to make Hannah miserable every single day of the year. She picked at her and tormented her for a very long time until one day Hannah got herself together and went to church. She worshiped so hard that Eli, her priest, thought she was drunk. Let me just encourage you in the Lord today that if you're in a situation where you've been struggling and fighting something that has been nagging at you, get up from the table, get yourself together, and go lay it at Jesus' feet. Worship Him and allow Him to take the helm. You don't have to announce what you're doing. Just do it and watch God take a barren situation and turn it around. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
So please won't you answer my call?
of Damon Muriel, the song Don't Let Me Fall. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We're grateful to have as our in-studio guest here Pam Coleman. She's the director of the ministry, Autism and Other Disabilities Family Support Group. And Pam, again, you were sharing about an event that's going to happen, you said, tomorrow.
Yes.
Again, it's going to happen at, it's going to take place at the CREATE Foundation here in Tupelo.
Yes.
And you said it's October the 29th, Saturday, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And what, again, did you say is going to take place at that event?
Okay, well, we're going to also have speakers there. Kathy Dickerson from Lee County School Special Ed District. She's going to be speaking about what service that are provided when your children are in school and when they get to the age of 21 as they prepare to come out of school, that transition from school to home or to work. And also she's going to be able to answer questions for you if there's any questions that need to be answered. Also, Cheryl Friends Know, she will be there. She's going to be one of the speakers. She's from the Ark of Mississippi, and mm-hmm. she's going to be sharing about her events and what the Ark of Mississippi offers also. And I'm going to be one of the speakers myself because this what I'm designed. It's another lady that's on board with me. Her name is Cheryl Bailey. Mm-hmm. She lives in Amory. I live in Shannon, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. But our goal is that our children loves outdoors. Our children loves talking, playing with children and other, not just only children their age, but children, little children also, because our children, they're smart, but they also have the mind of, my child still loves to play patty cake. Mm-hmm. My child still loves to play tickaboo. He loves all those songs. Mm-hmm. But when we take our children to the park, or we take our children to the water park, or because our children have been excluded from it, a lot of things. Our children don't get invited to birthday parties because our children make makeup sounds, makeup noise. So family members also exclude you, and that's just part of it.
Pam, you know, let me jump in here, say this, in that this touches so much so on why it's so important for the church to learn how to be the church.
Yes.
You love people for who they are. And the fact is, whether people have disabilities or not, this is so important.
Because
you know, the reality is we live in a world where, in the truest sense of the word, everybody really is weird in one way or another.
Yeah.
But the fact is, as human beings, God calls us to love people. You know, the question was, the Lord spoke to Cain right after he'd murdered his own brother. He said, he asked where his brother was, and he said, am I my brother's keeper? Yeah. Well, it's as if God spent the rest of the Bible answering that question, saying, yes, 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 you're your brother's keeper. Mm-hmm. We're to love men and women, boys and girls, for who they are and where they are. And so, again, it's heartbreaking to hear the fact that you because of your child, sometimes would be excluded from things and left out. But again, sadly, for many people, they don't know how to love well.
Yeah, that's true. And then it also goes up with raising our children. They're going to function in this world. They're going to grow up to be young men and young boys, and they're going to do all those things. And we have not shy our children. When I take my child to the water park, you know, he like I said, he loves that. He's out there.
He likes to play.
He's playing. And he sees other little kids out there playing, and he's playing with them. And you know what? The children can play beautiful. They may hear him come out of the mouth, and they may look and stare. But as soon as the parents hear that, it's, come on, Tom. Come on, Jane. And they up and the children saying, why mom? Mm-hmm. And I have experienced
the child doesn't have the problem. It's the adults.
It's the adults. And that's what it's being taught. And, you know, and then my son trying to run to play with them. And they would take them over to the playground. And I have to tell my son, no, JJ, come on back. Come on back. And he's looking and pointing, and the kid's looking and pointing. And I'm like, and it breaks our heart.
Breaks your heart.
As parents to see that, you know. But we have to not shy our children away from, they have to know what this is. Mm-hmm. Our children want to live a normal life just like your child. That's they right. wants to have fun. They wants to play. Don't matter how old they are. My child might be 17 years old, and he loves to play basketball with a 5-year-old, with a 3-year-old, because that mind's level is still there. Mm-hmm. But he's not hurting them. He just wants.
Someone wants to be a part.
Wants to be a part.
To love him and care about him, just like anyone else would.
Yes, and sharing just many other stories. You know, then I hear other parents that's in my meeting. Another lady that when she tries to find her child somewhere to go and play. Oh no, we can't play there because there's too many children there, and we know it's gonna get the stare and the looks, and the parents gonna run their children away from our child.
And, you know, Pam, there's a whole other side to that, too, where it's very much a need for the church and churches to learn to love and embrace
and
families with special. They need to be taught.
Yes.
And encouraged to really learn. You need to be taught ways to love and help in a situation like that. But also, one of the things I recall from the past, as a pastor, I recall visiting the home of one family. They had a daughter who was mentally disabled. And they never brought her to church. And I'd encourage her, please bring her. Please bring her. They refused.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that. But at the same time, I understand why. But at the same time, the family needed to grow to understand why they needed to bring her anyhow.
Yeah.
And because my job as the pastor is to teach the church, you are going to love her when she comes. And if she makes noises or whatever, love and embrace her just where she is. Don't stare. Don't say anything ugly. And even form the service sometimes around her when she comes. But this family, they chose to never, ever bring. And it was tragic.
Yes.
But that was their choice. But again, you understand it. But still, the need is for us to pray and encourage families to get past that. Because, again, they don't mean harm. They think, well, I don't want my child to be disruptive. Their child is more important than that. And so, again, the need is for growth on the part of the parents, too, and the church to learn to love in both directions, you know.
Yeah, so. And that's important also, you know, and our pastors and our leaders, we got to know our congregation. We got to get involved with our congregation to find out, you know, and just be bold and ask that. God, give me wisdom how to ask it. Do you have anybody in your family with a disability?
Mm-hmm.
What ways could I help you and help your family to feel comfortable at this church?
That's
all we want is community. If you don't know, if you don't ask, you won't know, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is what we're doing. We're trying to also do in this meeting. We're trying to get parents, you know, people out to come out and hear the stories of parents. Then also, we said, in November, the week of November, of the Thanksgiving holiday, we're thinking it's the 26th. Mm-hmm. It's going to be at the health work. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a day with bringing just not for Tupelo, it's for surrounding areas or whatever you listen in. Amory, it doesn't matter. Aberdeen, we're taking a day.
Different parts of North Mississippi are invited.
Yes, are invited to come to health work. And what we're doing, we're not asking just parents with disability, you know, parents that have disability. We're asking everyone to come out and wrap ourselves around our children and learn our children. We asking parents that to get to know parents. You know, we want that communication. So, like I said, our children don't get invited to birthday parties.
Right.
Our children doesn't get to do normal things, go out to eat. You know, we have to think of a time that the place is not busy, so we don't have to get those stares, those looks. But our children wants to be involved. They want to be embraced. So this is what we're doing at health work. Like I said, November, the week of November, while schools is out, and we think it's on the 26th, but, you know, if you come to this meeting this this Saturday, and we will give you more information. And also, we have, in a, like my son have a school teacher. Her name is Miss Ballard. I know she wouldn't mind me mentioning her name, but her, she's a school teacher of my son from 2 years ago, and we had great communication. She loved my son, and I loved her. And she have a farm in Aberdeen. And she knows this is my passion. This is my desire. You get me fired up talking about autism, talking about my children, to helping parents. And that's my goal, is to help. And like you said, we she have a farm. She have different animals. And she, I called her up one day. And she said, yeah, bring, you know, pick a day. So this is another day that we're going to have. We're going to take our children up to Aberdeen, you know, and that she have a farm so we can pick out and have fun, you know, let our children, you know, see different people. But we just, like we said, we want everyone to come. We're not including everybody. So if you don't have somebody with disability, bring your children out. And embrace us.
Let me take time to pray specifically for your ministry. Again, we have as our in-studio guest Pam Coleman. She's the director of Autism and Other Disabilities Family Support Group. Lord, thank you for Sister Pam. Thank you, Lord, for this ministry, this outreach that she leads. And thank you for the work they're doing to really educate people and to help families and help individuals, help churches and others to get more involved in loving families that have children with some unique needs. Lord, prosper the work of the hands of this ministry, Lord, more and more. Increase their outreach. Bless this ministry indeed. Expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. And Lord, bless Sister Pam as she does the work, as she has these meetings. Bring people out. Bring believers out. Bring churches out. Bring individuals who need to learn more about how to love and embrace families with children that have unique and special challenges and needs. And Lord, help us to know, Lord, that You made us in such a way that all of us desire to be loved.
Yes.
We are able to give love and receive love as well.
Yes.
Teach us to do it with skill, to love people with grace, with mercy, and to aggressively love people, especially those with special needs.
Yes.
Help us to know, Lord, that all of us are special in your eyes.
Yes.
And help us to learn to love others with the same love with which you love each one of us. And Lord, help us to live in such a way where we'll just always try to run from the idea of excluding anyone because they might be a little bit different. But help us to go out of our way to include them in ways that we can and let them be blessed and encouraged. And help us to minister to the parents as well as the children. And help us to know, Lord, that that's what you've called us as the church to be and to do.
Yes.
Help us to be hearers and doers of your word. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're coming up on another break, Sister Pam. But on the other side of the break, I'm going to ask if you'll share a little bit more about other things that your ministry does. But if you have maybe other experiences or other stories you could share about some challenges that your ministry has run into, we'd really appreciate you sharing that. And so we'll be right back after this break.
My name's Dan. My heroin addiction had me living in filth. The sole reason I got up in the morning was to get high. But at Teen Challenge, I broke free from the drugs. Now I have goals and dreams again, and that is an awesome feeling.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
Coming next week on The Dwelling Place, Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible line by line and verse by verse to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
The Dwelling Place with Al Pittman, weekdays at 2:30 and 10:30 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
Repentance involves turning away from our sin. But Dr. Tony Evans says changing our behavior is only half the job. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You can turn from doing something and still be miserable. You can turn from doing something and still be unhappy. You can turn from doing something and still wish you were doing it. You can turn from doing something and something is still missing. Because you can turn from, watch this now, without returning to. You're going the wrong way on the highway and you recognize it. I'm going the wrong way. So you exit, but you got to get back on the other direction in order to be going the right way. The prodigal son, when he was rebelling and he wound up in a pig pen, he came to his right mind, the Bible says, and said, I have sinned. So he turned from the pig pen. But then he went on to say, I'm going to return to my father. I'm going to go back home. He could have left the pig pen and therefore not been with the pigs, but still been away from the father, just not in the pig pen. But he left the pig pen and then went to the father. So it's not enough to say, stop here, although that's the first part of it. It must be returning to a relationship.
If you'd like to see our country return to a relationship with God, contact us for details on Dr. Evans' book, America. It explains how we can use the Lord's power to reclaim justice, morality, and strength for America, and to spark a revival like our nation has never seen. Get details by visiting us at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Covenant Church, the song My Heart Cries. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We're grateful to have in studio with us today Pam Coleman. She's the director of the ministry Autism and Other Disabilities Support, a family support group. And Pam, in our last segment, I want to ask if, I want to start off by sharing something that a couple examples of ways the churches can reach out. But I tell you what, before we do, let's go ahead and deal with the question. There was a question that came through the chat that said, is discipline and routine important for autistic children? Would you respond to that question again? Is discipline and routine important for autistic children?
Yes, it's very important because at first, when we started out with this, didn't know what to do. But as I talked to people and got to see my child, they act just like a normal teenager. Mm-hmm. He's 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And you can distinguish between the autism and him being a teenager boy. Mm-hmm. And you just have to watch. You have to be vigilant. So, yeah, they need discipline. And mm-hmm. how we discipline our child, we thought spanking would do it. But we growing in this autism. We just got like it slapped on us, so we growing in it. Mm-hmm. So,
growing in your understanding of how to really work with and deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so my prayer was every day when I learned how to pray and I learned how to communicate, Lord. And that's my prayer daily as I wake up, the challenge that comes my way. Lord, give me wisdom. Mm-hmm. Lord, help me to discipline. Show me how to discipline my child. Mm-hmm. Show me how to raise my child. Mm-hmm. Show me what to see, what is autism, what is being a teenager. And mm-hmm. open my eyes. So, start that day out with God, give me wisdom. He said... Mm-hmm. Wisdom. Mm-hmm. So our children needs to be disciplined. So how we discipline our child, we don't whoop him. We take things away that he loves. And my son is a genius on iPads and mm-hmm. computers. So that's one of our discipline too. When we see that behavior coming on, we know it's just autism. We know it's autism. It's like you said, you just got to know your child. We take the computer away and we let him know, okay, this is going away, because we know what he is attached to. My wow. son loves mm-hmm. VeggieTales. I don't know, everybody knows mm-hmm. My son started out with VeggieTales since he was a baby. So mm-hmm. that's what he knows who God is. He knows. Mm-hmm. So we have to take those movies away, TV right. times away. And so that's the way we discipline our mm-hmm. child. And we let them know, what are you doing, JJ? That is not right. Or sometimes he communicates with us with sign language, and we have to show him cue cards, bad behaviors. And sometimes he knows when he's doing wrong. He'll come to us, and he's nonverbal, but he can repeat after us. And when he knows he's doing wrong, he'll come to us and he said, "I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry, right. Mama." Mm. So that lets you know he mm-hmm. knows. So ask God for wisdom how to discipline your child.
Sister Pam, I think you're hitting an important nail on the head that's important for, obviously parents with autistic children, but really it's a truth for any parent, because the Holy Spirit can give you, if you pray and ask God for wisdom, the Holy Spirit can give you wisdom to know how to better understand your child,
yeah.
how he or she is wired, how to really guide and mold and shape them.
Yeah.
And so asking God for wisdom is so wise for the parents of autistic children, but every other parent as well, because the Lord can show you. He can open up your mind to understand the puzzle of the way your child is put together.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing, too. And I think of this, too, like one of the things that's true often of autistic children is often they may have difficulty with social skills.
Yes.
Well, that's one of the ways that, for example, as believers, if we learn to love children and people in spite of that, mm-hmm. as opposed to thinking, well, let me get away from this person. They're going to embarrass me or make me feel weird or odd. No, learning to love people right where they are.
Yeah.
And even if they say things that may seem to be out of place or inappropriate, loving them anyhow.
Yeah.
Being close to them anyhow, appreciating them for who they are, too.
Yeah.
And I wanted to share just a couple examples real quick of two instances where, now one is, and of course I would say the church that I pastor, St. James Church in Leland, Mississippi. And we're grateful to have a couple folks in our church that are, they're deaf and they cannot hear. Well, we have a young man that does sign language. Okay. And so by the grace of God, now he's the son of actually the gentleman who's deaf, and he does a beautiful job of doing sign language. But that's one of the ways that as a church we're able to accommodate the two individuals, of course, and we're grateful for that. But also, I've started learning sign language myself a little bit. So
that's good.
I'm learning, and so I learned how to do one phrase, God is love. And then I started learning how to do John 3:16 as well. And so last Sunday, I showed the whole congregation how to do John 3:16. Now, I kind of butchered it, sort of. And so the young man that does it very, very well, he helped me out,
Okay.
So, but the key is that, we're teaching the church to accommodate and love these two individuals for who they are and where they are. And that's just one example. And of course, you know, we all have more growing to do. But churches learning to love and accommodate people for who they are as opposed to, well, they don't really fit here. We don't really want, you know. And sometimes with our actions, we say we don't want people here. We may not say with our words. Sometimes people say with their words, too.
Yeah.
But we need to live where we're inviting and encouraging people as well. But let me share one more example real quick. It was a beautiful story. I saw it on the internet. It was a high school football team that had a young man that had Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. And this young man was the water boy. But one game, they let him dress up in a football uniform, and they made plans to let him come on the field. And his mother, who actually had cancer pretty badly, they let her know what they were going to do. They were going to give him the football and give him a chance to make a touchdown.
Okay.
And this young man with Down syndrome, at the right time, he got the ball. Both teams, the offense and defense, they worked together. They let him get through. He made a touchdown and scored and just rejoiced with him. And the whole stadium just was cheering for him. And his mom, she just cried and she just cried because she wasn't used to people allowing her son the chance to be loved and get a chance to fully participate and enjoy something, even though he understood the sport. But to get a chance, the young man would never forget this opportunity. Mm. That's how we love people for who they are and where they are. Those kinds of examples come to mind.
Yeah. And when you were saying that, I want that hope for my child.
Right.
And also, as you know, as the church, we trying to put our children in your world, our world.
Mm-hmm.
Let's step out the box and let's get in their world.
Mm-hmm.
Let's find out how to make this child I can communicate with this child.
Right.
And it's not about meeting your world. It's like, let's meet one another needs.
Forget your world and step into that person's world and love them and bless them in their world.
Yeah, and that's our goals for our children. We want to see, I would love to see my child go to the prom. Mm-hmm. I would love to see my child go on the football field. Mm-hmm. And that's hard for a man. I had to learn when my husband was going through. It was hard for a man to cope that you have a son. You may not never see him play football. You may not never see him play baseball. So, and that was hard on my husband, to see that, that's his son. And these dreams that we, as a man thinking, I'm going to be able to see my son do that. And it looks like that's dissipating, he's growing up to be older. And my desire is my son to go to the prom, So we have different needs that we want to see our son, our children progressing in, but if people don't know that's the goal we want for our children, just the same goal you want for your child, we want that. Still want that same goal, that same dream, that same, give our children an opportunity
to be fulfilled. To enjoy life and to love and to be appreciated for who they are.
Yes, go in the church. Let's not put them in a box on their own and say, okay, this is going to be the autism room. Mm-hmm. No,
bring them right in the middle of everything.
Bring them, but let them sing in the choir. Let them do it. Okay, they may sound off key. It's about glorifying God in everything that we do. So that's the same goal we want. So this is what this meeting is all about. Mm-hmm. So, if you're not doing nothing, come out to this meeting. Like I said, this Saturday, the 29th at Correct Foundation, and let's talk about this, and let's talk about, our next step is bringing our children into health work, and let's communicating all together, not just keeping your children at home, but teaching them about what is autism,
And that's the CREATE Foundation here in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Yeah, yeah.
And would you like to give a phone number if someone wants more information about this event that's going to happen on the 29th, that is Saturday, at the CREATE Foundation here in Tupelo? What's a number for someone to get more information?
Okay, my name is Pam Cohen. The number is 662-401-0178. And the next lady is Cheryl Bailey. She's from Amory. Her number is
662-351-315-3388. Amen. Amen. Okay, then. Well, Pam, thank you so much for coming today and for sharing about the ministry. And thank you for the work that you're doing, the way that the Lord is using you. You know, I think of one more example of something I did see on the internet. It was a young high school girl that specifically, apparently, she invited this young autistic boy to the prom. Mm-hmm. And he was so touched that he was going to go. And I remember they showed a video of him rejoicing, "I'm going to the prom."
Yeah. Know?
And this pretty young lady had invited him. And again, what a special young lady that was, that would love and let Jesus use her like that to love and bless this young man as she did. And God is calling us all to learn to love like that.
To
put ourselves behind and put Jesus in front and love people for who they are and where they are. And all of us can do that. So thank you again for the work you're doing. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Father, thank you, Lord, for Sister Pam. Thank you again for the ministry that she directs, the Autism and Other Disabilities Family Support Group. And thank you for the work they're doing. Bless that ministry indeed. Expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. Lord, raise up more and more ministries like it. And Lord, raise up churches that will love people and embrace people for where they are. Churches that will look for persons to reach out and love in ways like this. And help us to know, Lord, that you want to use all of your children to love a world that longs to be loved, to love a world that has all sorts of challenges and difficulties and many times disabilities. But help us to know, Lord, that everyone is precious in your sight, that people are precious to you, and that we're to love them right where they are for who they are in their life and in their ways and in their gifts and abilities just like they are. Thank you for that opportunity. And, Lord, more and more teach us to love. Empower us to love. Fill us with the spirit of your love each and every day. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. And Lord, I pray that you'll encourage Sister Pam and all those that work with her. And as they have this meeting tomorrow and the other meetings in the future, anoint each meeting, bring many people out, and move upon many people to really get involved and get behind a great ministry like this. We thank you for it, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again so much, Pam, for being with us today. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. As always, we appreciate you listening in. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.